favors when God's hand is on your life and you are impacting your community, and hell can't stop you, and Potiphar's wife can't stop you, and Pharaoh can't stop you. I thought I would serve you today at Victory Restaurant. Who wants some cookies this morning? Anybody want some milk? Cookies? Pastor Ty? Milk? Get some milk. Cookies?
You're here on purpose. God's not finished with you yet. Your best days are right in front of you, and you have victory in your life because Jesus lives in you.
Anyone else want a chocolate milk? My man right there. Chocolate milk over here. Chocolate milk back there. Just call me Joseph. Just call me Joseph. So Joseph was the top. Come on, we have fun at Victory Church. Y'all are like, what is happening right now? We're having fun. Joseph was the top attendant, which meant he was the top servant. And he basically said, where do you need me? What do you need me to do? Nothing is below me. If serving is below you, then leading is above you. If you can't serve, you can't lead. If you're too big to serve in children's church, you're too small to preach on this stage. If you're too big to serve in the parking lot, you're too small to lead a connect group. And I think sometimes we always want like the top position. I wanna be in charge. I wanna be the communicator. I wanna be the guy on stage. I wanna be the worship leader. But God says, I need you to sing in the choir. I need you to work in the nursery. I need you to rock some babies. And so that's what I did. When I was at ORU, I served in our youth group. I was a greeter. And as I was greeting at the youth group, and then I was working as a janitor at ORU, God began working on me, because God's more concerned with who you're becoming than how fast you get there. He's more concerned with the character that you're developing than the title that you will one day hold. God's not interested in titles. The greatest title you will ever have is servant. Like, God doesn't say, well done, thou good and faithful senior pastor of Victory Church. He doesn't say, well done, thou good and faithful top mom on the mom's club in the neighborhood. Well done, thou good and faithful, you know, dad of five children. Well done, thou good and faithful CFO or superintendent of the school or basketball coach, football coach. Titles don't matter to God. What matters is that you live to serve him and them. And when you live as a servant, you can go far. You want favor in a frustrated place? Become a servant. Just say, where's the need? What do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? So while I was at ORU, I was looking for where's the need, because no one gave me a title. So I was picking up nachos and I was stacking tables. And one night I was writing in my journal and I heard the Lord say, start serving as a pastor to this campus. And I was like, well, how do I do that? Like, what office do I go to become the pastor? Like, which department do I need to ask permission? And I heard the Lord say, you don't need permission to help people. You don't need permission to pray for people. You don't need permission to have an open door where anyone can come in and talk to you about what's going on in their life. So I started doing it. I just basically started living as a pastor on campus. I didn't carry the title. I didn't have a badge that said Pastor Paul. I just started living in a way where I said, I want to help people on this campus. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to start serving in chapels. And I was thinking, what can I do? I didn't make the choir. How bad do you have to be to not make the choir? They were like, maybe your sophomore year, you might make it. It was frustrating. Didn't have a title, didn't have a position. And God said, open the door for people. I was reading Psalm 84 and it said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I circled it. I said, okay, I'm gonna be a doorkeeper at chapel. Every Wednesday and Friday, I opened the door. People would walk through and they'd say, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm a greeter. And they're like, we don't have greeters at chapel. And I was like, I am your greeter. You can't get rid of me. And they were like, who appointed you as greeter? I was like, I did. It's a self-appointed role. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just trying to help you have a great chapel service. And they were like, you're annoying. This is ridiculous. But I would hold the door open. I'd say, welcome to chapel. It's gonna be a great chapel. And they'd be like, no, it's not. Like, people were just angry. You know, they had to go to chapel. And people would come in. I'd be like, you're gonna have a great message today. We got a great speaker. And they're like, who's speaking? I was like, I don't know. They don't tell me anything. I'm just a volunteer greeter. I was like, I'm just trying to be optimistic. It's gonna be good. Whoever it is, it's gonna be great. Our best days are right in front of us, you know? And I'm trying to pump people up as they're coming into chapel. And during those 4 years, I never stopped greeting. And I took it so seriously that my family was going on vacation once and we were gonna miss a week. And I said, Dad, I gotta get back. And he said, why? And I said, because I'm supposed to open the door at chapel. And he was like, who asked you to do that? And I said, I know in my heart I'm supposed to do it. I started pastoring before I was a pastor. If you're waiting on a dream to come to pass before you start living the dream, you'll never really be living the dream. You gotta do it in Potiphar's house. You gotta learn to serve wherever God has you. I memorized like 1,000 people's names. I started knowing everyone, and I was like, hey, Susie, welcome in. Hey, Jerry, you know, it's like saying all these names. And by my senior year, people started looking at me as the pastor on the campus. I wasn't a chaplain. I was for one semester, and then they got rid of me. It's because I participated in an activity on campus that wasn't the best activity to participate in. We did a prank. We pranked the whole campus. It was really funny, but I got removed from the chaplain program. I'm not saying I was a perfect pastor. I'm just saying I showed up to greet people, okay? I know how to get myself out of my emotions. And sometimes we see ourselves as Joseph or like the hero in every story. Sometimes we're Potiphar. Sometimes we're not the good guy. Sometimes we're the brothers. Sometimes we're the butler that forgot Joseph. Sometimes we're the temptation. Sometimes we're not always the good guy. And I think we've got to look at this story and go, God, what are you trying to teach me through the life of Joseph? What are you trying to teach me through the characters in Joseph's story? Joseph served. And by the way, when you serve, you become a target for the enemy. When you start giving your life to serve God's purpose, the enemy draws a target around your head and says, I'm coming for you. And I'll bring every temptation I can to try to take you off course from your purpose and your destiny. And so watch this. It says, from the time that Joseph was put in charge of Potiphar's house and all that he owned, Potiphar trusted everything. The Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. God will use you to bless another person's house. The reward of being faithful and being a great servant isn't always a bigger paycheck. It's knowing on the inside that I helped change the culture of this house. It's knowing that I had something to do with God's hand blessing this house. And that internal reward, you don't have to hear anyone give you a shout out at the staff meeting. All you have to know is that God is pleased with you. That God is using your faithfulness and your servant's heart in the nursery, in the children's church, in the parking lot, on the worship stage, or at your job, at Quick Trip, at Starbucks, at Home Depot, at the BOK Center, wherever you work, at Williams Company, God's using you to help bring a better culture to your company. And the reward for that is the blessing comes on it. And from the time he was put in charge, God blessed it. And the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. In the house and in the field. God is not only blessing this house, he's blessing the field. God's blessing the mission field of Victory right now. We're seeing so many amazing reports happen across the world, not just in Tulsa, but through what God's doing here. God's touching both the house and the field. But that only happens when you have people who are willing to serve without the spotlight. People who are willing to serve without the titles, people who are willing to serve in the trenches and show up like Joseph did and work as if they're working unto the Lord. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. Joseph was dependable. Joseph was trustworthy. Joseph showed up on time. Joseph was responsible. Sometimes we think that the grace of God is going to do everything for us, that the favor of God is going to take care of everything. But God says, you have responsibility. The divine is going to do amazing things. But God's also looking for human vessels who say, I will give my best effort wherever you put me, God. Wherever you have me, I will work and I will make the most of Egypt, even in a frustrated place. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But Joseph refused. By the way, there's always going to be distractions along the way to your purpose and your assignment and your destiny. When I was a kid, my mom used to take me and John to Walmart with her. Any Walmart people in the house? Yeah, yeah, we are the people of Walmart. I was there yesterday. I got a nice pair of sunglasses, 10 bucks. You cannot beat the prices at Walmart. And I love going to Walmart. Like, I am a Walmart dude. And so when we would go as kids, my mom, she would take forever in Walmart. She would get lost in aisles, and she would go with a list. Everybody said, go with a list. Yeah, yeah, you gotta go with the list when you're going into Walmart, otherwise you get distracted by the specials. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, that's not on the list, but that looks good. Like, you cannot beat 2 bags of Doritos for $4. Come on, let's go get some Doritos. But you gotta stick to the list. And so she had a long list. Sometimes I would take the list and I would start adding stuff on there like Nutter Butters, Star Crunch, Capri Suns, Chips Ahoy, Oreos, you know, mac and cheese. I would always like, and she was like, who put this on the list? And I was like, don't worry about it, you know. But she would get lost in there. And then my mom, she would start praying for people in the aisle. She'd start casting out demons. She was having church at Walmart. I remember this one time, she had a line of people just coming through her line. She's praying for them. And there was like people behind her massaging her neck, massaging her back. It was weird, man. It gets weird in Walmart sometimes. And John and I, we were just like, we're gonna, like, we took some money out of her wallet, like $3 or $4. We told her afterwards, but we went and got some McDonald's French fries. And then we went down to the electronics section, and they have like PG-13 movies. That was the only place we could watch PG-13s. So we were watching Jurassic Park while my mom was praying for people. And we were sinners. We needed the grace of God. Just living to serve, just Joseph up here, living the dream. But anyways, where was I going with that? You gotta go with the list. You gotta go with the list. And you gotta have purpose because there's distractions. And Joseph knew what his purpose was, so he did not deviate from his destiny. And it says, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to me. I have a purpose here. I have an assignment. I cannot do this. And he says this, he says, I cannot do this against him, but I cannot do this against God. He had a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord, to the point where he would accept to go into the prison if it meant pleasing the Lord. He would accept a demotion if it meant pleasing the Lord. He knew it would cost him. Joseph knew the cost. Day after day, and one day he went into the house. Day after day, this would come. It never stops, right? Never stops. Day after day, and finally one day, she grabs him by the cloak, and she says, come to bed with me. And Joseph leaves the cloak behind. And that's all I'm taking off. We're not gonna have an illustrated sermon today. But Joseph leaves the cloak behind, guys. And he chases and he runs after God. Where are you gonna run? You either run to God or you run to someone else or something else. When you're in a frustrated place and you're frustrated, and it's not always going well, and you don't get the greatest paycheck, you can become entitled as a servant. Temptations come in all sizes and forms. And I was working these 3 jobs, and it was frustrating. And I was tempted. I was tempted to get entitled. I was tempted to be bitter. I was tempted to just give in to whatever my flesh wanted. And I wasn't perfect in that season. I didn't have 0 mistakes. But I learned in that season that God was saying, Paul, how you handle this determines if I can trust you with that. I was working as a janitor at ORU. I worked with about 20 other students, guys that I knew that we went to class with, and some of them came to me one day and they said, dude, how big is your paycheck? I was like, $97. And they're like, ours are like $400. I was like, what? How are you getting $400? And they're like, we clock in at 6 a.m. and we clock out at 10 p.m. And I was like, but I see you guys in class during that time. And they were like, yeah. So, and I was like, I see you playing video games at like 1 p.m. They're like, yeah, so? And I was like, so you're clocking in, you're getting those hours, but you're not working during those hours. And they were like, Paul, they don't pay us enough here. This is the temptation. Temptations come in all different forms. The temptation was to take more because they deserved more in their minds. I said, you're right, they don't pay us enough. I said, but we shouldn't do that. And they said, Paul, you keep taking those little paychecks and we're gonna keep getting more. But they said, listen, our supervisor doesn't even care. He told us he'll look the other way. And I remember during that time being so tempted because I needed money. You know what I'm saying? Anyone else been in that season where you need money? Like half of y'all in the room, the other half of y'all just rich. Take off your mask, okay? Like you can leave the COVID mask, but just, you know what I'm saying? Just be real. The truth is we all go through seasons where I'm like, man, I need some money. Like I need some cash and they're not paying me enough. And the temptation was to take more and we could have, I could have. Believe me, there were weeks where I was like, I could really do that. But I felt the Lord saying, how you handle this determines if I can trust you with that. And if you don't pass this test, then I can't trust you with that test across the street. Because I was working as a janitor across the street, but God was preparing me for the pulpit here. How you handle this season is preparing you for the next season. God never wastes a test. He never wastes a season. He never wastes an opportunity. And so there would be times where I would be so frustrated. I was working 3 jobs because I didn't have enough money. And my other jobs were rough. I worked as like a real estate agent, which I didn't. I found out later on that you have to have a license to do that. I didn't have a license. I'm sorry. Don't arrest me. But my mother-in-law, she told me later on, she was like, yeah, you should have had a license to do that. I was like, my bad. I didn't know. Some guy just told me, hey, can you help me sell some houses? So I was trying to. I didn't really sell any, so it's not a big deal anyway. I didn't make much money. But I did it for 2 years. I was making calls every day trying to sell houses. But anyways, long story short, I was working as Rudy the Rooster for the NBA D-League basketball team here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had to wear this rooster costume. It was musty. It was wet. The guy never washed it before me. They used it for the Oilers game. It was oily. It was musty. It was nasty. And I would put that thing on. And I was working these 3 jobs, and it was frustrating. And I was tempted. I was tempted to get entitled. I was tempted to be bitter. I was tempted to just give in to whatever my flesh wanted. And I wasn't perfect in that season. I didn't have 0 mistakes. But I learned in that season that God was looking at my character, that God was watching, and God is watching, and God was saying, Paul, how you handle this determines if I can trust you with that. Joseph, how you handle this. And even though Joseph did the right thing, he ended up in the wrong place. Sometimes you could do the right thing and you still end up in a bad place. I don't want to lie to you today and say that favor is going to get you out of every problem and favor is going to give you lots of money and favor is always going to make everything right. Sometimes favor lands you in the prison. I remember, and I want the band to come out, I remember I was standing in line to get some ice cream at an ice cream truck and my dad pulled me out of line. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm going to get ice cream. He goes, nope, come on, Paul. I was like, I was going to get some ice cream. Sometimes favor will pull you out of the line. Sometimes we think favor brings me to the front of the line. Sometimes favor pulls you out of the line. And I don't know why he pulled me out of the line. Like the guy in the van had a mustache. I don't know. Maybe he felt something. I don't know. But my dad was taking me to Brahms, and he said, I got something better for you. I don't know why I said the mustache in the van. Just forget about that. I have a mustache too. Don't be hard on guys with mustaches or guys who drive a van, okay? I got 5 kids, so I might have a van soon and a mustache. Just let's stop it. It's getting weird, all right? The point is, here's the point. I got pulled out of line and my dad had a better ice cream for me, okay? Edit this from the tapes, cut it off. Sometimes favor isn't fair. Joseph did the right thing and the favor of God was on him and he gets accused of a crime he didn't commit. He gets accused of something that he didn't do. Have you ever been accused of something that wasn't true? And it hurts. Because people look at you different. And like this, even a year ago, during the pandemic, people accused our church of like all kinds of random stuff. And while we were having services out on the rooftop, and we were, and the enemy thought that the accusations were gonna stop our church during the pandemic. You know what happened? Those accusations, our church ended up on all these news channels for what we were doing. They came to find something wrong, and they found us giving out groceries to thousands of people, helping the homeless, serving people at the Dream Center. What the enemy sent to try to shut our church down actually propelled our church even closer to the dream. And I just want to say this, that every accusation of the enemy that's been sent to destroy your reputation, that's been sent to push you back, God says, if you will trust in me and keep your heart right. Joseph didn't even get a chance to defend himself. Like Potiphar just said, you're done, you're out, you're fired. Throw him in prison. But I love what it says in verse 20. It says, Potiphar threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners are confined. Joseph thought that Potiphar's house might be the house where he becomes the leader. Again, Joseph didn't have a Bible, didn't have a script. So he was watching as he was prospering, succeeding. He's building up Potiphar's house. Everything's awesome. It's a blessing. And he's like, maybe this is the dream. Maybe I'm going to lead these people. Then the accusation comes. Then he's thrown into prison. And he thinks, man, I just took another 100 miles back from the dream that God gave me. But little did Joseph know that the prison was actually one step closer to the palace, because now he was no longer in Potiphar's house. He was in the dungeon that sat right beneath Pharaoh's room. And I just wonder if while Pharaoh was dreaming in the bed right above Joseph, here Joseph is, he's in a prison, right? He's got concrete above his head, concrete on every side. He's in this cell. He's got the shackles on, but right above him, Pharaoh is dreaming. And he doesn't know what to do with these dreams. And Joseph is sitting right beneath him. And Joseph thinks he's so far from his dream, but he's closer than he realized. And it says that even in the prison, watch this in verse 20, while he was in the prison, the Lord was with him. That even while he was in prison, even when you're in a frustrated place, even when you're accused of stuff you didn't do, the Lord is with you. And the Lord showed him kindness and granted him favor in a frustrated place. Favor in the eyes of the prison warden. God's about to give favor for some of you in this room. As you keep a posture of a servant, as you keep the posture of humility, God exalts those who humble themselves, but he humbles those who exalt themselves. So the warden put Joseph in charge of everyone in the prison. Sometimes favor is promotion in a frustrated place. And the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and God gave him success in whatever he did. Would you stand your feet all over this place? I just wanna pray for you today. I wanna pray that this message, this story resonates with some of you in seasons of life that you're in. And maybe you're in a season right now where you need to be reminded, just like the Lord was with Joseph, he's with you. Or maybe you're headed into a season. And this is just a word of prophetic revelation to say, God's with you. He will be with you, he is with you, and he's for you. And if you will keep on forgiving, Joseph had to learn how to forgive in the prison before he got to the palace. He had to learn how to forgive Potiphar, Potiphar's wife. He had to learn how to forgive the people who were mean. He had to learn how to live without defending himself. He had to learn how to live without having a conversation about it. Just to go in there and say, okay, God, I trust my reputation with you. Lord, I trust that you're with me. I trust that you're going to work all things together for good. God was helping Joseph to interpret the season he was in.
God wants to give you favor even in frustrating places. You know, the favor of God doesn't eliminate your circumstances. It just causes you to shine even in the midst of them. Joseph didn't get delivered from the job he was working in as a slave in Egypt, but he had favor in the middle of a difficult place with a difficult boss. Even with the temptation of the boss's wife, he still had favor. And God will give you favor even in places where he may not remove you from the place or remove the people out of your life, but he'll cause you to have a shining ability to succeed even in spite of all the difficulties. I've seen it happen in my life, times where I saw the favor of God in a job that was difficult to work, under a boss that was hard to work, hard to please. And I've seen the favor of God show up in places where I thought, man, was that really the favor of God? It was. And God wants to give you favor even when you're in difficult places. Now, the question is, just like you heard in the sermon, what are you going to do even when you're in that frustration? Are you going to choose to see that God's with you? We have a choice every day. What we're going to fix our eyes on, what we're going to focus on, in spite of all the bad things that might be happening, we can see that God is still on the throne, He's still with us, and He still has favor for you in that place. God will use you to be a servant, just as Joseph learned to serve people. And you know what? The greatest title in the kingdom of God is not pastor, it's not husband, it's not wife, it's not even daddy or mommy or CEO or CFO or director. The greatest title is servant. And if you'll take on that posture of a servant, I promise you, you'll see the favor of God. He exalts those who humble themselves, but He humbles those who exalt themselves. Pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, God, I surrender. Lord, use me for your purpose, and I will choose to serve you and be a servant to my generation. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, God's going to give you favor. He's going to help you serve the people around you on a greater level. We love you. We're thinking about you, praying for you. God's not finished with you yet. If you're ever in Tulsa, come join us for a service at Victory. Your best days are right in front of you.
Like what you heard? You can experience Victory every day online at victory.com. There you'll find messages of hope, healing, and encouragement to connect you with God every single day. If you're in Tulsa, we'd love for you to check out one of our live services. We guarantee that you'll have a worship experience like you've never had before. It's a great place to connect with God and connect with others. We have services every weekend, Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. at 7700 South Lewis Avenue in Tulsa. If you have kids, we have a fantastic kid experience specifically designed for them. Whether they are newborns, toddlers, or elementary age, they'll have fun in a safe, exciting kids environment learning Bible stories and walking away with a knowledge of God's love for them. There's something for everyone at Victory. Watch us online at victory.com or join us in service Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. at 7700 South Lewis Avenue in Tulsa.
This program is made possible by the generous donations of our television partners and friends.